Greg Raleigh.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah.
This is Big Daddy in Sioux City. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Glad you could join us on the program this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Greg Raleigh, founder of Santana and Journey. And, man, I'm happy to hear that I had a chance to talk with you, because it's not very often a guy gets to talk with a guy that's a two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know you're here to talk about your new album you got coming out, but, geez, as long as I got you on the phone, can I take it back a little bit, Greg?
Sure.
Greg Raleigh, you started Santana, you started Journey. I guess my first question for you is, who's a better guitar player, Carlos or Neil Schon?
Well, that wouldn't be fair to one of them, would it?
No, it wouldn't. I just thought I'd put you on the spot right out of the chute.
No, it's actually not. I like them both, and they're for different reasons. They play differently, Neil is more technical and knows way more stuff than Carlos, but Carlos plays with his heart. They both do. They're just totally different guitarists. But if you've ever noticed, I've never played with a bad one.
Let's go back to Santana. How did you and Carlos hook up way back when?
The story. I met him in a tomato patch. What happened was, a friend of mine went and found him in San Francisco, and said, "You want to go down to Mountain View and jam?" It's about 30 miles south of San Francisco. And Shoreline Amphitheater is there now, but it was nothing but farmland at the time. And so we jammed this little farmhouse, smoked some marijuana, and the police came because of the noise, evidently. Somebody called. And I turned to him and said, I didn't even know him then. So we got to get out of here. But all I saw was back about 20, 30 feet in front of me running towards this field, and what a great idea. So I ran behind him, and we hid in the tomato patch until the cops left, and that's how we met.
How old were you at that time?
What was it? 19, maybe.
So you and Carlos got together, and I got to be honest with you, Greg Raleigh, we're talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've never talked to anybody who actually performed at Woodstock. You were one of them. What was that like?
We had played for 30,000 people before, 20,000 to 30,000. There was a lot of festivals during that time period. And so I didn't think much of it. We flew in a helicopter because people parked on the highway, and it was blocked, so we couldn't get in other than going through a helicopter. And looking down on 500,000 people, I had no relation to what that was like or how massive it was. So it didn't do anything to me, really, because we had already done 20,000 to 30,000. It just, from the air, kind of would look the same to me anyway. And so then we played, and I stayed to see Sly Stone, and then we drove out. And when we drove out, I drove out through 500,000 people. It took forever. And I think if we had driven in, I might have been a little nervous to go play. But as it was, I wasn't. So, that's kind of the story of it. It was an amazing thing. Past that, if you played at Woodstock and you got in the movie, you had a career. And it really started the whole thing for Santana to be internationally known.
You then left Santana and formed Journey, along with Neil Schon, who I didn't realize he had played some guitar for Santana in the past.
Yeah, the third and fourth albums, Santana 3 and Caravanserai. Yeah. And then he and I both left. And then I went up to Seattle and started a restaurant with my dad, which I won't ever do again.
Yep.
The restaurant business, if you think the music business is tough, try that one. It's like, it's amazing. You got to have 1,000% at least of capacity to make it work, because nobody goes to the same restaurant every day. It's not the way it works. Anyway, so I went to that, and I got a call from Neil and Herbie Herbert, the manager, and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing really," and came back from Seattle to San Francisco, and Journey started up.
Well, I kind of got into you guys, and I got familiar with you, I think, from the Infinity albums when I first really got into Journey, and then I started looking back on some of the stuff you had done before. And I'm a Journey fan. I'm a Santana fan. We have a lot of Santana fans that listen to this program and Journey fans, obviously. But you left two bands at, I don't want to say the height of their peak, but pretty darn close. I mean, you left Santana to go out and form something. Why did you leave Santana?
Santana has kind of imploded. It's like too much too soon. We didn't treat each other very good. And the other point is, it was about the music. It was always about the music. Any argument, that's really where it came from. And I disagreed with a lot of where this was starting to go, to jazz, and I don't play jazz. I mean, I understand it, but I don't play it. And it's okay to, in my view, it's okay to educate your public to a new kind of music, but to completely change it over. The only people I know could do anything like that were the Beatles. They just completely changed things, but that was the Beatles. And so to change it from Santana 3 to Caravan Thrive, which was much more ethereal and jazzy and all that stuff, with less vocal, less songs, I thought was a mistake. On top of the fact that we personally were just not getting along anymore. So it's just the way it goes, you know. And so I left it.
What about Journey?
Journey, I left because after building two bands, I wanted to change my life. I wanted to start a family, and a family and rock and roll and travel really aren't synonymous. And in my viewpoint, it's not fair to the kids, not fair to the wife, not fair to me, not fair to anybody. So why do it? And it was probably the most mature thought I had in my young life. And so I chose to get out of it and start a family, and I did. And it's my best work.
You're a proponent for music education for children, kind of going back to that maternal thing with you probably, but you're into the music, you're into teaching young kids, and you have some kind of a, what is it called, Little Kids Rock or something, a nonprofit organization. What's that all about?
That was in San Francisco, and we played a gig for them to get my band, Greg Raleigh Band, we played a gig for them in San Francisco, and it was to get instruments for them. You know, the fact they're taking art and music, or trying to take it out of schools, is asinine. It's like it is a proven fact that if you're into the arts, it actually helps the analytical side of your brain as well. And besides, not everybody's supposed to wear a nameplate and look at a computer all day. It's just not the way it should be. And so taking that away from people that could benefit the world with art or music, I think is foolish. And, you know, bureaucrats love it, but I hate it.
You're a good musician. I was talking with John McPhee a few days ago, the Doobie Brothers, and he's a great, talented musician. And I asked him if he had any help along the way or if he's self-taught. And he said he's more or less self-taught. Is that the same thing with you? I associate you with the Hammond B3 organ. I mean, did you learn to play that all your own, or did anybody ever try to help you with it, or how'd that go?
No, I did do it on my own. It's like I sat down with an album from Jimmy Smith called Hoochie Coochie Man, and he was singing on it and playing on the blues side of this guy instead of the jazz, and I loved it. And I'm just self-taught of it. About everything. I can't read a note of it. Music's for listening to and not reading. And, if you're using your ears, you're going to find something.
You're doing a little work with Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band. How long you been doing that?
That's been the joy of my life, as a matter of fact. Playing with this guy, if it wasn't for the Beatles, I probably would have been an architect. And when that came in, I got struck by it like everybody else. You know, and then to go play with him, I got the call. I said, "You sure you got the right guy?"
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do this sort of thing. And after 7 years, apparently I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Greg Raleigh, founder of Santana and of Journey. He's been doing some work with Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band. And now you got a new project coming out. Tell me about your new album called Sonic Ranch. You haven't had a solo album for quite some time.
Yeah, it turns out somebody looked it up, and it's been 18 years. it wasn't a plan. I just, you know, I got busy. I got calls from people, and then the Anna Santana 4 came in, and I did that, and Journey Through Time with Neil Sean, I did that. While trying to work on this stuff, there was just no time to finish it. I started it years ago. And then when Santana 4 and Journey Through Time was over with, I could jump back in and finish it. And I had a few more songs, and so we put it together, and we chose to get this done finally. And I'm very proud of it. Great players on it. I got Steve Lukather to play guitar on a couple of tracks after meeting him through Ringo. And then there's all the guys that I've known for years, Neil and Alfonso Johnson, Ron Wicks on drums. The list on the CD is like, I don't know, about 15 to 20 people. I haven't even looked anymore. It's been a while.
Best of luck, and I hope to see you down the road, and keep rocking, my friend.
All right, brother. Take care.
Take care.